Thank you very much. Good morning. Being that we're just 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah, 2 weeks from tonight, I thought it would be useful to explore some themes that relate to the Rosh Hashanah davening. The Musaf Shemone Esrei and Rosh Hashanah is the longest Shemone Esrei of the year. I'm talking about the silent Shemone Esrei. I'm not including all the piyutim and all the extra tefillos that we say in the Chazoras Hashatz. The truth is, Musaf of Yom Kippur, the Chazoras Hashatz, is longer because it includes the whole description of the Avoda, what took place in the Beis Hamikdash and so on, and we imitate what used to be done in the Beis Hamikdash by falling on the floor and so on and so forth. So that Musaf is very, very long. But in terms of the silent Shemone Esrei, Rosh Hashanah is the longest silent Shemone Esrei because it has in the middle of it three unique brachas, three special brachas. Brachas are called Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, which I'd like to explore this morning. A lot of people are confused about what's exactly going on in those brachas. It seems to be a random collection of psukim and tefillas. So what exactly are those special brachas all about? And actually it makes a lot of sense once you understand it. I would ask the question, who has not had the following experience, but probably a more accurate to I think that's a more accurate question than asking who has had this experience. I think everybody's done it. I can imagine sitting with your machzor on Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur also, but certainly Rosh Hashanah, and you're looking at the clock, and then you look at the machzor and say, well, let's see, we're on page 365 now. It ends on page 512, so that's 150, right? You're trying to calculate how many pages are left and how much time is left. I remember one of the great revelations I had as a kid when I realized doing those calculations. So 1 second, half these pages are in English. We'll be out of here real quick. But in any event, it's sometimes difficult for people to follow and understand what it is that's going on. So I'd like to look with you in the source. I didn't print a lot of Makaris, which I sometimes do in these shiurim. This is really a passage from the Mishnah, the Gemara, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which I hope will shed light through the eyes and through an explanation given by Rabbi Yashaber of Salavetz Shalom Baruchah, which is just a very clear explication of what's going on here. So if you take a look in the Gemara, the rest of the page are from the Machzor, we'll see. Okay, the Gemara says the following, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph in Rosh Hashanah. Seder Brochus, Omer Avos Ugvuros Ugdushas Hashem. Now let's begin by stating what we already know, and that's what the Mishnah does here as well. Yeah. The very top line, first line. Very top. Oh, the Talmud, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I should have clarified. The Gemara passage in the middle of the line, middle of the first line. So the Mishnah says as follows, Seder Brachas. This is the order of the Brachas of the Shemone Esrei and Rosh Hashanah. Now, strictly speaking, this Mishnah does not indicate that we're talking only about Musaf. In fact, there is one position that we've shown him that these extra Brachas that we're going to describe shortly is in every Shemone Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. That's not our practice. Otherwise, the davening would be even longer. We only have this extra passages on Musaf, during Musaf. But the Mishnah doesn't say that, I'm just pointing it out, but that's a fact. Now, let's go over again, I think it's obvious everybody knows, but we'll explain it anyway. Every Shemone Esrei that we say during the course of the year, whether it was this morning, or it was a Tuesday afternoon in July, or a Wednesday evening in March, whenever you say any Shemone Esrei, Shabbos, Yontif, weekday, every Shemone Esrei begins with basically the same first three brachas. Now sometimes there are additions, we add Mashi Ruach Amor HaGeshem, or Morid Atal, we may add Yor HaSer Shemei Tshuva, Zachreinu L'chaim. I'm not saying they're always exactly the same, but more or less, every Esrei begins with the same first three brachas, and they are identified here in this Mishnah by the nicknames Avos, Ugvuros, Ukedushas Hashem. Avos means the bracha relating to our ancestors, our forefathers. That's how the bracha begins. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That bracha is nicknamed Avos, and it ends with the bracha to Hashem, Magen Avraham. That's the first bracha of the Shemone Esrei, called Avos. Any Shemone Esrei you ever say begins with that. Second is called Gvuros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's might. It begins Ato Gibor, you are mighty Hashem, right? So that bracha is nicknamed Gvuros. Sometimes it's called Gvuros Geshamim, because that's what we mentioned, the rain, Mashi Ruach Amor HaGeshem, is in that bracha. That's the second bracha, Gvuros, and it ends, Baruch Ato Hashem Mechaye HaMesim. The third bracha of the Shemone Esrei is called Kedushas Hashem, on the sanctity of God's name, and that's the bracha that begins, Ato Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh, you and your name are holy, Baruch Ato Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. And on the Seris Yimei Tshuva, we change it to HaMelech HaKadosh. We'll come back to that. But again, that's the third bracha. That's true on Rosh Hashanah. It's true on Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Chanukah, Purim, Shabbos, weekday. It's always true. Those are the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Again, sometimes with a few tweaks. Okay? But now is when the Mishnah continues to say something else. It says again from the beginning, Seder brachas Omer Ovos Ugvuros Ukedushas Hashem. But the kolel malchios imahen, the extra bracha of Rosh Hashanah called malchios, which we'll explain, is incorporated into that third bracha that we called kedushas Hashem. In other words, there's an expanded version. That's usually the shortest bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. Ato kadosh, v'shimcha kadosh, ukdoshim v'chol yom elucha sela, bracha to Hashem hukel kadosh. Right? That's the whole bracha usually. What the Mishnah is telling us that on Rosh Hashanah, that bracha is significantly expanded. And we incorporate something called Malchios, which, as you can tell by the name, refers to something about Hashem being the Melech, that's put into that bracha. Okay? Good. That's, again, that's unique to Rosh Hashanah. As we said before, we're talking about Musaf on Rosh Hashanah according to the way we paskin. Okay? So again, V'kolel Malchis Imahem, V'eino Tokeya. But you do not blow the shofar after that bracha. Okay? As you know, on Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar not only right after Torah reading, before Musaf, but we also blow the shofar during the Shemoneh Esrei. Some communities blow not only in the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei, but in the silent Shemoneh Esrei as well. Most people who daven Nusach Svarad, who comes from a Hasidic background, or Svaradim, they blow shofar both in the silent Shemoneh Esrei at certain points, and in the repetition. Most Ashkenazic communities blow only in the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, and we make up at the very end, after the whole Musaf is over, and then we have extra sounds to get to the round number of 100 like everybody else. But in any event, the Mishnah is telling us that here, you do not blow shofar after Malchios, which you have incorporated into the bracha of Kedushas Hashem. Okay, so far so good. Now, then you say, but we have introduced this new bracha called Malchios. Good. Now, Zichronos. The next thing you say is the bracha called Zichronos, which has to do, as the name suggests, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering and being aware of everything. We're going to see the text inside shortly. Vitokeya. And you blow shofar after that bracha called Zichronos. Okay? Then, Shofros. There is a bracha called Shofros, which talks about the shofar. And again, Vitokeya. Okay? I'm sorry, I skipped something in the middle. I'm sorry. I'll go back again. You put Malchios with Kedushas Hashem, then Kedushas Hayom, and I skipped the line, I'm sorry, Kedushas Hayom. What's Kedushas Hayom? Kedushas Hayom is the bracha that we say on every Shabbos and Yontif in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. So let's go back to what we started with. Every Shemoneh Esrei, including Shabbos and Yontif weekday, begins with the same three opening brachas. During the week, like today, what comes next? A whole bunch of requests, right? A regular weekday, this morning, Mincha this afternoon, Ma'ariv tonight, Atachonein L'Adam Da'as, and Slach Lanu Avinu, and Rifa'enu, and all these brachas. There are actually 13 altogether, all requests. And that's the daily Shemoneh Esrei. So after the opening three, you say all these requests, all kinds of different needs, personal needs, communal needs, and the last one of that group is the bracha called Shema Koleinu, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomei Tefillah. Right? So there are 13 such brachas, and then we have the last three brachas that wrap up the Shemoneh Esrei for the grand total of 19. So actually, even though we call it the Shemoneh Esrei, Shemoneh Esrei means 18, we have 19 brachas today, not 18. The Gemara discusses elsewhere, bracha was added at a certain point, they originally were 18, the name stuck. You know, I mean, when I was a little kid, every refrigerator was called the Frigidaire, right? I mean, you know, that was a brand name, where you cut yourself, you put on a Band-Aid. It's also a brand name. But it took on that name, and that's the name that stuck, even when it wasn't that exact brand anymore. So sometimes you have an old thing, the name sticks. You know, I work in the University High School, it's called MTA, okay? That's the old name of the school, it's Manhattan Talmudical Academy. It's not what it's called anymore, it's called the Marsha Stern Talmudical Academy. But everybody calls it MTA. Sometimes the old name sticks. So in the Shemoneh Esrei, the old name, the original name, 18 brachas, stuck, even though they're 19 brachas. So again, you have the first three, the last three, 13 in the middle. On Shabbos and Yontif, we do not say those middle 13 brachas. We don't say Atachonein L'Adam Das and Slachlano and Rifa'enu. We don't say any of those brachas on Shabbos. Not that it's forbidden to say those on Shabbos, but the basic idea is that on Shabbos we don't want to have to concentrate on our personal needs. Shabbos is the day of spirituality, so we omit these brachas. If a person by mistake started, sometimes you're tired or whatever, you're not looking in a sitter, especially Friday night, and you start to daven, and you by rote, you know, so you start saying, you begin to say the weekday bracha by mistake, then the halacha is you're supposed to finish saying that bracha, even though it's Shabbos, finish the bracha, because you started it, finish it, then go back to the Shabbos davening. Sometimes people don't realize the mistake until they get up to slachlana, right? They start, then you realize you made a mistake, and then you have to start fixing, you know, you don't want anyone to think to you, instead of what you to scratch a little bit. But anyway, so if there's a mistake, you finish the bracha. But generally speaking, hopefully you don't make a mistake, you don't say any of these 13 brachas. Instead, you say a paragraph or several paragraphs, which is nicknamed together Kedushas Hayom, about the sanctity of the day. It's about Shabbos, right? So it's a little different Friday night, Shabbos morning. We say Vishamru B'nai Yisrael, also Shabbos, and Elkeinu V'Elkeinu V'Seinu Ritzei V'Imnu Chaseinu, etc. And it ends Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. That's the middle bracha on Shabbos. Actually, it comes out that on Shabbos there are only 7 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. A weekday has 19. The first 3 which we talked about, the last 3 which we'll get to, and these middle 13 brachas of request for the grand total of 19. But on Shabbos there aren't 19 and aren't even 18. We still call it a Shemoneh Esrei, but there are actually only 7 brachas. The first 3, the last 3, and the middle bracha called Kedushas Hayom, which is all about Shabbos. On Yontif, let's take Sukkis is coming up. So on Sukkis, the middle bracha is also about Sukkis, right? V'titein lanu Hashem Elokeinu be'avos Yom Chag HaSukkos hazeh Zman Simchoseinu, right? Or on Pesach you say Yom Chag HaMatzos hazeh Zman Chavis, right? Something about that holiday. And it ends Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Behazmanim. That also is called Kedushas Hayom. Well, on Rosh Hashanah, not at Musaf, but on Rosh Hashanah at night, Ma'ariv, Shacharis in the morning, Mincha in the afternoon, we also have 7 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. The same first 3, the same last 3. And in the middle is what's called Kedushas Hayom. And we make reference to Rosh Hashanah. And we say, V'ati ten lanu Hashem Elokeinu be'avos es Yom HaZikaron hazeh. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaZikaron, Chazal's nickname. Yom Trua, a day of shofar blow, etc. And it ends, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron. That's the middle bracha called Kedushas Hayom. So is everyone with me now in terms of the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? But again, Rosh Hashanah is unique because Rosh Hashanah we have these extra 3 brachas to put in. So getting back to the Mishnah, so let's read it again from the beginning. Seder brachas, Omer Avos, first bracha, Guro, second bracha, Kedushas Hashem, the third one, that's Atah Kadosh, V'cholel Malchios Imahen. And the bracha of Malchios, which we're going to explain, is incorporated into that third bracha. V'eno Tokeya, but you don't blow shofar at that point. Okay. Comma, correct. Kedushas Hayom, then you say, because it is Yontif, Kedushas Hayom is Atah V'Chatanah. Kedushas Hayom is Atah V'Chatanah. So that whole couple of, again, right, so you're looking at a Siddur, but we haven't read the whole mission yet, so we've got to get through the whole mission before, we don't do exactly what it says in this mission, in this part of the mission, we'll get to that. But again, Atah V'Chatanah, as the woman just mentioned, is the beginning of the bracha called Kedushas Hayom, on Yontif. Atav v'chatanu mikol amim, avto son of Rotzi Sabonu, etc. Then v'titein lanu Hashem Elokeinu, etc. Good. But anyway, getting back to our text over here. So because on Rosh Hashanah it is a yontif, so you have to say Kedushas Hayom and speak about Rosh Hashanah. So we do that, and after that v'tokeya, then you say kama zichronos v'tokeya, right? You say zichronos and blow shofar. Shofros v'tokeya, you say the bracha is called shofros and tokeya, blow shofar. V'omer, and then you say avoda, v'hoda, u'birchas kohanim. Those are the last 3 brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, same as any other day. Avoda is the bracha that begins ritzei. Ritzei, by the way, in the art school siddur, they actually label the title before the bracha. It says, this bracha is called avoda. Ritzei Hashem l'kenem amcha Yisrael v'shilasam, v'hashev es ha'avoda. That's the bracha is called avoda. That ends Baruch Hashem HaMachzir Shechinoso LeTzion. Then Hoda'a, the bracha that begins Modim, Modim Anachtoloch, and it ends Baruch Hashem HaTov Shimcha Ulechana El Hodos. And the last bracha is nicknamed Birchas Kohanim because it flows into Sim Shalom, right? The bracha of the when we duchen, so the Kohanim say, you know, Yaseim Lecha Shalom, Sim Shalom Tov Avrocha. That's the third bracha. All of this is Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Everything we just said in this Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, one of the Tanoim. So let's go over again what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says. The first three brachas and the last three brachas, those are your constants. What happens in the middle? So actually, if we think about it, based on what he just taught us, there are four themes that have to be covered. There's Kedushas Hayom, because it's Yontif, like any other Yontif, right? So you have to say that bracha, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron, Atav HaChartano, and that whole thing, right? Then you have to put in the other three, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri proposes is that Malchios is combined with the third bracha called Kedushas Hashem, and you don't blow shofar at that point, which we'll come back to later. Then you say Kedushas Hayom, like any other Yontif, Atav V'Chartano, and so on, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Then you say Zichronos, then Shofros, and then the last three brachas. So how many brachas are there all together in the Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah Musaf? Nine. Different than any other tefillah, any other time. Again, a normal weekday, we call it the Shemoneh Esrei, actually 19 brachas. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Yontif, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, whatever, 7 brachas. Even Rosh Hashanah at Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha, also 7. Again, the usual first three, the usual last three, plus Kedusha Hayom in the middle. But at Musaf, the way we paskin, again, it doesn't say in the Mishnah it's talking about Musaf, the way we paskin, Musaf on Rosh Hashanah has 3 additional themes, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. And what do you do? You combine Malchus with the third bracha, Kedusha Hayom is on its own, like any other Yontif, then you have Zichronos, Shofars, and the last three brachas. All of that is Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now let's continue on the wide line, the first wide line of the page in the Mishnah. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said to us, it was a contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Akiva said to him, one second, according to you, I noticed that you said you combine Malchios with Kedushas Hashem, the third bracha, and you don't blow shofar there. Right? You only blow shofar after the Kedushas Hayom, after Zichronos, and after Shofros. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't understand. He says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Im eino tokeo lemalchios, lama hu mazkir. If you're not going to blow shofar together with Malchios, why are you saying it at all? That's what Akiva says. And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, I respectfully disagree with your presentation. Rabbi Akiva is bothered by the fact that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, there is no shofar blowing accompanying the bracha of Malchios. And Rabbi Akiva says, if you're not going to blow shofar, why say it all together? We'll have to see what he means, but that's what he says. Ella, so therefore I respectfully disagree. Ella, he says, Omer Avos Ugvuros Ukedushas Hashem. Rather, Rabbi Akiva says, this is what you're supposed to do. The first three brachas, like usual, nothing combined with the third bracha. The third, not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, you build Malchios, you wrap it into the third bracha. Rabbi Akiva says, no. The first three brachas, like any other time, nothing added. Avos, Gvuros, Kedushas Hashem. Then what do you do next? V'kolel Malchios im Kedushas Hayom. You combine Malchios with the Kedushas Hayom bracha, not with Kedushas Hashem like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said. No. Rabbi Akiva said the first three brachas, constant, leave alone, like any other day. You put Malchios together with Kedushas Hayom, V'tokeya, now you blow shofar. And then Zichronos V'tokeya, again comma, V'shofros V'tokeya, and then V'omer Avoda V'hoda Birchas Kohen, the last three brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei. So we have here, actually if we think about it for a moment, a double layer machlokas, a double layer dispute. First of all, they both seem to agree that the bracha of Malchios is combined with something else. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri held that the bracha of Malchios is combined with the third bracha, Kedushas Hashem. And Rabbi Akiva holds, no, the bracha of Malchios is combined with the fourth bracha, the regular Yontif bracha, Kedushas Hayom. Machlokas number two, as a result of that, is do you have shofar blowing accompanying Malchios? According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that Malchios is combined with Kedushas Hashem, no. According to Rabbi Akiva, that Malchios is combined with Kedushas Hayom, yes. So that's the dispute in the Mishnah. Now, full disclosure, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. You may have already seen, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But we need to understand a couple of things. First question is, Soloveitchik raised this question, they both agreed that Malchios is combined with something. I mean, where do you get that from? Why is that a given? They're arguing where Malchios is combined. Okay? As a matter of fact, there is an opinion later in the Gemara, another opinion, which I'll just say outside, you can look at it later, but there's an opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who, it's a third opinion, also Tana, okay, kind of in the middle of the page, but I'm not going to read inside now, but Rav Shimon ben Gamliel has a third opinion. He says that actually, not like either of Akiva or Rabbi Yochanan, he says you have the same regular first three brachas, okay, then you have the bracha of Malchios, and then Kedushas Hayom is combined with Zichronos, at a different order, a different setup. But our Soloveitchik, the Rebbe, was bothered. Why does anything have to be combined with anything? It's almost like he's saying, apparently there are nine brachas, and we've got 10 themes to cover, right? We all agree there are 10 themes to cover. The first three themes, as always, the last three themes, as always, and in the middle, you got to cover Kedushas Hayom, because it's Yontif, and the extra three special Rosh Hashanah tefillos of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros. That's four. Well, four and six is 10. So what's so terrible about having 10 brachas? Why do you have to combine this with that, that with the, oh, combine, forget combining anything. Just have 10 brachas instead of nine. Right? I mean, the Gemara doesn't ask the question, but that's what some people are bothered by. And the Rav raised this question, as did others. What's the idea of combining anything? Everyone seems to agree. Apparently, there seems to be some rule someplace that you only have nine brachas to work with. If you've got nine brachas and 10 themes, apparently two of the themes are going to have to be combined into one bracha. Where does it come from? You need nine themes. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested there is a Gemara in Brachas, not here, there's a Gemara in Brachas which in general discusses how did they come up with the number 18 for the daily Shemoneh Esrei. Originally it was 18, we had another one. Why 18? Why not 22? Why not 15? I mean, you know, where does 18 come from? I mean, I'm sure we could have all thought of other things to request in the Shemoneh Esrei, or maybe other things could have been combined. Well, you know, so the Gemara actually has psukim. We have to understand this as a general rule. The Chachamim, Chazal, always try to pattern their takanos and their institutions after already existing models from Tanakh, from Torah Shebichsav. Right? The Chachamim didn't just make things up out of left field. They always try to model what they're doing after an already existing pattern. So what they did was they pointed out that there was a certain chapter in Tehillim, not for us right now, the details, where David HaMelech mentioned the name of Hashem 18 times. So that's the source that we mention Hashem's name in the brachas 18 times. That's where the 18 comes from. And then when they added the other one, but wait, now you got 19, they found that. They examined, they found 19, good. The Gemara there in brachas asks, how come on Rosh Hashanah there are nine brachas? So the Gemara says, because in the tefillah of Chana, okay, the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel, remember the story? It's actually the Haftorah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Appropriately enough, it's the Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Chana was the wife of a gentleman by the name of Elkanah, and for a while she couldn't have children, and the other wife had many children and so on, and she wept and everything else, the whole story. And she came and she davened, right? And Eli the Kohen, it was very unusual, she davened to herself. They were whispering, and Eli thought she was drunk or whatever, and she explained that she wasn't. And anyway, from that, her tefillah was answered, and the Navi Shmuel was that child that was born to Chana. So you all know that story, the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. And Chana was, again, that is the Haftorah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. At the very end of that Haftorah, when Shmuel is born and Chana keeps her promise to bring the child to grow up in the confines with Eli HaKohen and so on, and near the Beis HaMikdash, well, it wasn't the Beis HaMikdash yet, but the, you know, the Mishkan and so on and so forth. So she came, she had a prayer of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the last few psukim of the Haftorah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And lo and behold, in that tefillah that she said, nine times the name of Hashem. So that's connected to Rosh Hashanah, it's a theme of Rosh Hashanah. Some of you know already, the Gemara says that it was on Rosh Hashanah that Chana was remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also Sarah that we read about in the Torah reading on the first day of Rosh Hashanah with the birth of Yitzchak, and also Rachel. Anyway, so these are themes related to Rosh Hashanah. So comes along the Gemara and says, oh, you know why we have nine brachas on Rosh Hashanah? Because it's modeled after the tefillah of Chana. So Soloveitchik said, that's why. Now you understand why. Yes, there are 10 themes to cover, but Chazal wanted us to model our tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, pattern it after the tefillah of Chana, who had nine times the name of Hashem. So therefore, since you want to have a Shemoneh Esrei with nine brachas to pattern after Chana's tefillah, and you got 10 themes to cover, so you're stuck. You're going to have to combine two themes into one bracha. The dispute in the Mishnah is, which two are combined? What's combined? Malchus is combined with Kedushas Hashem, or Malchus is combined with Kedushas Hayom. That's the dispute in the Mishnah. And the Gemara said in the third opinion that Zichronus is combined with Kedushas Hayom. Okay, that's how you work it out. So that's how all 10 themes are covered, and they're squeezed into 9 brachas, because one of them is a double, you know, has a double theme. Okay, everyone with me so far? That's the basic question, the basic issue. What's problematical here, among other things, is this very strange comment that Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He said, well, according to you, my friend, if you don't blow shofar after Malchios, why are you saying Malchios altogether, right? That's what he said. And that's why he revamped it. And he said, no, Malchios is combined with the fourth bracha, bracha Kedushas Hayom, and we blow shofar after Malchios. That was Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So the Gemara on the next line, it's altogether the fourth wide line. The Gemara says, Amala quotes the Mishnah, Amala Rabbi Akiva, im eina tokel malchios lomahu maskir. That's the quotation, right? Rabbi Akiva said to Yochanan ben Nuri, according to you, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchios, so why in the world are you saying Malchios at all? So the Gemara says, what do you mean lomahu maskir? Rachmana Omar Itka, the Torah says you have to say it. I mean, there's a din on Rosh Hashanah, you have to say Malchios. Who told you that's connected to the shofar? Rabbi Akiva asks, well, if you're not blowing shofar, why are you saying Malchios at all? So the Gemara says, what kind of question is that? What do you mean, why are you saying Malchios? Because the halacha, Rosh Hashanah, you have to say Malchios, that's why. Well, what kind of question was that? That's the Gemara's objection to Rabbi Akiva. Right? The Gemara says to Rabbi Akiva, what are you asking him that question for? Now the expression Rachmana Amar Idkar is an interesting, Rachmana means the Torah. Rachmana literally means the merciful one, God. It's a reference to the Torah. The Torah says to say it. All right, we have to discuss, does the Torah say to say it? The Torah says to say it. Is there a pasuk somewhere that says you have to say Malchios? So you could say that it's just a borrowed expression. It means there's a din, like sometimes you'll tell the kid, your child, you know, oh, the Torah says you're not allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos. Well, that doesn't exactly say that, right? But it means that it's not allowed, right? Sometimes we use that as a borrowed expression. But actually, I'm going to digress for a moment again to share something from Soloveitchik. There's an interesting question. We all know that you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? Well, that we know. What about this? Where does this business of Malchios, Zichronos, and shofars come from? Where do we see altogether you have to add these extra brachas? So there's actually a dispute between Rashi and the Ramban as to what the nature of that obligation is. Okay, Rashi seems to hold that reciting these psukim and talking about these three themes, Malchios, that Hashem is the king, Zichronos, that he remembers and is aware of everything that goes on in the universe, and shofars, the uniqueness of the shofar in Jewish history. Again, we're going to come back and we'll see the themes in the Machzor shortly. These three things, says Rashi, this is biblically required. It's part of the Rosh Hashanah. He learns it out from psukim. And some want to bring a proof that Rashi's right, because look what the Gemara says over here. The Torah says to say it. Remember, Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchios, why are you bothering to say it? So the Gemara asks, well, why are you bothering? Because the Torah says to say it. Well, if you take that expression literally, that's like Rashi. The Rashi says, the Torah is telling us, a mitzvah mid'oraisa, it is a biblical mitzvah to make mention of Malchios, Zichronos, and shofars on Rosh Hashanah. Ramban respectfully disagrees. He feels it's a rabbinic mitzvah. It's midrabbanan. We're observant Jews. We observe the rabbinic mitzvahs too. But the Ramban holds that it's a mitzvah midrabbanan, not a mitzvah midaraisa. So it's interesting. The Ramban brings a very strong proof against Rashi. Where the Ramban says, and this is in his commentary on the Chumash, one of the places where the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar is presented, where the Ramban writes, there is a Gemara which poses the following problem, which Baruch Hashem most of us will never come upon the way society is today, but in the olden days it could have happened. Let's remember, in the olden days you didn't have printing. You didn't have, until you come to shul, everybody has a machzor. Most people have machzorim at home, and with English and with this, and with these commentaries, it's wonderful. Before printing, you know, not everybody had a machzor. So how would people say the Shmoneh Esrei? How would people be yotz if you didn't have a sitter or Shmoneh Esrei, huh? The Chazan, what we call the Chazaras HaShatz, would say it out loud for the benefit of those people who didn't know it by heart. Let's say Rosh Hashanah, most people don't know it by heart. Okay, the weekdays when I say, you can get away, people know it by heart. But Rosh Hashanah, we only say it twice a year. Most people don't know that by heart. So if you didn't have a sitter, you didn't have a machzor, so you listen to the Chazan. So the Gemara poses the following question. Let's say I live in a certain area out in the boondock someplace, and I live near, the reason we need are two towns. One town, one village, They have a chazan with a machzer who's going to say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. I don't know it by heart. So I could go there, but I found out that they have no shofar there. The town that I'm no shofar there. There's another town near me that has a shofar, but they don't have a chazan. There's no sitter. Again, we can't even imagine this today because the way society is set up, but you can imagine it, that such a thing came up every once in a while. So the Gemara discussed it. I live in the middle. The two towns are too far apart to get together for Yontif. But I live in the middle. I can go either one. Where should I go? Should I go to the town where I'm going to hear shofar and forego Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars? Or should I go to the town that I'm going to hear the chazan say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars? And maybe they have other sidurim there that I can look and I can say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars, but I'm not going to hear shofar. What wins? It's an interesting question. Again, we don't have such a conflict, Baruch Hashem. But imagine if somebody did. So the Gemara says, you go to the place where they're going to blow shofar. Because that's a biblical mitzvah. Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar is only rabbinic mitzvah. So a biblical mitzvah wins over a rabbi. You have no choice. We try to observe all the mitzvahs, both in the Torah and from the Rabbanim. But if you have a choice, I can only do one. What takes precedence? The mitzvah from the Torah. So says the Ramban to Rashi, checkmate. Right? I mean, the Gemara says openly that Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar is only the Rabbanim. Right? Hador Reis, Hador Rabbanim. Right? To go to the town that's got the shofar, because that's a biblical mitzvah. And Rashi claimed that Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar is also a biblical mitzvah. So how does Rashi, and Rashi can't argue with the Gemara, so the Ramban says, with all due respect, Rashi forgot the Gemara, and so on. End, you know, end of story. That's his proof. So those who have studied, come to these shiurim, you know, there's very rarely a checkmate. There's very rarely a checkmate. You can always, so Rav Soloveitchik explained that what that Gemara means, according to Rashi, and when Rashi says Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros is the Oraisis from the Torah, he means when accompanied by shofar blowing. There's a deep connection between Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros and shofar blowing, as we see in our Mishnah. When Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros are going to be accompanied by shofar blowing, then it's the Oraisa. So Rashi will agree. In that story in the Gemara, when the guy was going to go to the second town that didn't have the shofar, he wasn't going to get Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar with shofar. There Rashi agrees it's only the Rabbanan. When Rashi says Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar is the Raisa from the Torah, so that's only when you have shofar blowing with it. And it's a fascinating thing if we stop to think for one moment. Okay? Clearly, shofar blowing and davening is very much intertwined. I mean, what other mitzvah do we do in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? Okay, can you imagine on Hanukkah, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we'll stop and we'll go like Hanukkah candles. You don't want to do that. You can't do that. You can't stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, we'll tell you. So let's see. We'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. In any event, I'm just trying, I want to just point out just in terms of this theme. Maybe we'll have questions at the end. But if you think about it for a moment, what other mitzvah do we do in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? I mean, we don't, you're not allowed to stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. On Sukkot, we don't stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei to wave the lulav. We do it during Hallel, but not during the Shemoneh Esrei. We don't eat matzah in the middle of the Meirav on Pesach night, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And yet here we blow shofar in the middle of what's going on here. Shouldn't it be a hefsek? Shouldn't that be an interruption? As I said before, some shuls even do it in the silent Shemoneh Esrei. Why isn't that an interruption? I mean, shofar is a wonderful mitzvah, but if you don't do mitzvahs in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, the answer is obviously shofar is a different kind of mitzvah. Obviously there's a deep relationship between shofar and the davening, so keep that in your head. In any event, getting back to our discussion, so this Gemara may or may not be a proof to the Ramban's position because it says Rachmona Amar, the Torah says to say, that sounds like it's a biblical mitzvah, but as I said before, that could just be an expression. It means you have to do it. So let's learn it that way to keep things simple. So again, what did Rabbi Kiva say to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? He said, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchus, why are you saying Malchus? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, why are you saying Malchus? Because there's a halacha on Rosh Hashanah, you have to say Malchus, that's why. So that could not have been Rabbi Kiva's question. It's a foolish question. So Gemara answers, no. What I meant is, or Rekiva means is, Ela lama eser, lema tesha. Why say 10? You should only say 9. The whole of the ishtani, ishtani. Since it's changed, it's changed. Okay, thank you very much. What does that mean? I mean, everybody's happy, and the Gemara moves on to another discussion. How did he answer the question? He said, no, what he meant was, not why do you say Malchus at all? That I agree, you have to say Malchus. But what I meant was, says Rabbi Kiva, why do you say 10? You should only say 9. Because once you change it, you've changed it. Oh, now we understand everything. Something's missing here. What kind of answer is that? And even Rashi doesn't exactly help us out here so much. Okay? But I'll say outside what Rav Soloveitchik said in explaining what's going on here. What is going on in Malchus, Yechonos, and Shofros altogether? What's it all about? So I asked him to print. I hope he did. Yeah. So turn, you have the pages here. So the back page tells you the first three brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei. Very nice. Okay? So look on that first page right behind this one. Page two, I guess. There it looks like you have the same three brachas as usual, right? No, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. The first three brachas are as per usual. Except, there's an interesting thing, that not only do we change the bracha of Akel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh, but on Rosh Hashanah, we do expand that bracha a little bit. Remember that the next page? It's an expanded text. You see that? On the top of the, I guess, the third page. And then we come to HaMelech HaKadosh. Right? So the third bracha is expanded. That's not Malchios. Although Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Rav Soloveitchik had an uncle whose name was Rav Menachem Krakovsky, who was the rabbi in the city of Chaslavich, where Rav Yashabir, the Rav, grew up in a small town in White Russia called Chaslavich, where his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was the Rashiva here in YU, later Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was the rabbi in Chaslavich. That's where the boy, that's where Yosef Dov, the little boy, that's where he grew up, in that town. In any event, his uncle, Rav Menachem Krakovsky, was the Rav of that town before Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Anyway, there's a sefer that he printed called Avodas HaMelech on some parts of the Rambam. Anyway, so he proposed, he said, maybe this expanded third bracha, even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said that Malchios is in the third bracha. So we don't paskin like that, but maybe this extra passages are a holdover from his opinion that the third bracha was expanded. Interesting thought. Don't know. Okay, certainly a possibility. You follow what I'm saying? We have that expanded third bracha. You see it here. Ends on Melech HaKadosh. It's not just the usual. Maybe that was a holdover from the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which we fundamentally reject. We don't accept this opinion that Malchios was incorporated into the third bracha. We don't accept that opinion. But this was a holdover from his opinion. Okay, but anyway, let's go back to it. So the next thing is what we call Kedushas Hayom. That begins like in any other Yontem. Atav v'chartanam mikol ha'amim. And so look at the second part. Vatiten lo shema kenev avas yom azikon azay yom yom true, etc., etc. Right? And then you'll see things that are familiar from other Yom Tovim. At Musaf, we mentioned the Korban, right? V'sham l'asav onechas korban ozchav v'seinu temidim kisir. Right? The regular Musaf, the regular text that we have on Shabbos and on Yontem, we mentioned the Korbanos. But now, turn to the next page. You'll see at the top of the page in bold, Malchios. Malchios. What does the word Malchios mean? Malchios, that Hashem is the Melech. One of the primary themes of Rosh Hashanah is that Hashem is the King. So now I'm going to explain to you, hopefully this will give you an understanding, because as I said before, it's long and people are mixed. You know, you'll see it's very, very well organized. Malchios has three parts to it. Part one is the first two paragraphs, or actually first two paragraphs printed here, which I'll call the statement of the theme. The statement of the theme. What is the theme of Malchios? That Hashem is the Melech. Now, it just so happens that this statement of the theme is very familiar to us, because we say it daily, three times a day. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol. The truth is, this is where it originated. When we say Aleinu at the end of davening every day, three times a day, Shachas, Mincha, Maariv, that's borrowed from the Rosh Hashanah, Shemoneh Esrei. Interestingly enough, its origin was here, huh? Yeah, okay, so that's a true, who wrote it, but in terms of being incorporated into our liturgy, it was originally in our liturgy from Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Now, how is that a statement of the theme? Because what do we say? Aleinu l'shabeach, la'adon hakol. What does Adon hakol mean? The master of all. Hashem is the king, right? And we say, we're declaring what? That God is the king. That's exactly what we're saying, the statement of the theme. We're declaring that God is the king. And in the second paragraph, we're saying that God is not only the king over us Jews, but over everybody, right? There should come a day that the whole world will be, you know, established as God's kingdom, right? And everybody will bow to him. And v'kablu chulam es ol malchuscha, b'chalas chol malchusecha, v'simoch aleim ha'elam v'ad, ki ha-malchus shel chohi. Right? It's all about malchus. That's what Aleinu is. I said, this is where it originated. The truth be told, I remember, I still have a memory of this. It was sometimes you remember things you were very upset about as a little kid. It happens to be, I believe I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. I just learned, I guess, how to daven a little bit and how to read Hebrew. And I remember my great-grandfather, Zichron Rocha, was the chief rabbi of Atlantic City, New Jersey, before they had gambling. I was talking about a long time ago. So he was at a shul there. I remember being there with a little boy to go for Rosh Hashanah to his house. And I guess I just learned how to daven. I'm davening the best I can, Musaf Rosh Hashanah. I have my siddur, my machram there. And all of a sudden, there's Aleinu in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And I still remember this. I said, Aleinu, we didn't take the 3 steps back. What Aleinu? So I thought I had a defective machram. I thought the page was missing. I still remember this. This is the old type of shul that had the pews, you know, with the little rack in the front of the back of the first pew so that people in the next row can put this in. So I still remember I put it down. I grabbed another siddur. I opened up. And again, it's the same problem. The siddur, all the siddurim here are ruined. Every machzor in the shul and of course, in the middle of the semester, I can't, my father's davening, I can't ask him what's going on here. And I still remember being extraordinarily frustrated. What's going on here? What's Aleinu doing here? But this is where it belongs. This is where Aleinu comes from. A little boy, I didn't know that, but now we know. So what is Aleinu? It's the statement of the theme of Malchios. So that is part A of Malchios. Part B of Malchios is what we'll call proof texts. 9 psukim, which prove the theme from our Tanakh. What's the theme again? That Hashem is the Melech. We just had an opening statement, our theme statement. Now we have a collection of psukim, 9 psukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im. That'll strike you right away. It seems backwards. Why don't we go in the right order, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim? The answer is because it just so happens that all of the psukim from Ksuvim are from the book of Tehillim, which is in Ksuvim. Chronologically, they are earlier. They were written earlier. Tehillim was composed by David HaMelech, right? So that's earlier than the later Nevi'im, who's psukim. So they're presented in chronological order. Okay, so you have 3 psukim, 9 psukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, that are proved, all of which, if you look at it, speak about Hashem being the Melech. Right? You have a chance to glance at it, and you'll see, look forward. Kakasu b'sarasecha, Hashem yimloch lo lomed. V'ne'amar, it also says, you know, Surah Melech bo. V'ne'amar, he was sure in Melech. Right? Every one of these psukim, sometimes a few psukim together from the same chapter, but it all emphasize that Hashem is the Melech. That's the proof that we just said is true. In our opening themes, our theme statement said that Hashem is the Melech, so now we prove it by citing psukim. Then, the last section, the third section, is Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, is what I call the request. The request relating to that theme. So what is our request during Malchios? That Hashem's kingship should be revealed worldwide. That's exactly what we say. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. Please, God, reign over the whole universe with your glory, right? And so on and so forth. And then we end up, Mikadosh Yisrael v'yam hazikaron, right? So, in other words, the conclusion, so the Malchus has 3 parts. The statement of theme, the proof text, and then your request relative to that theme. And it ends, Baruch HaTa Hashem, but not just Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, but Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, that's a unique phrase. We actually say it throughout Rosh Hashanah, not just in this one, I say it's in Kiddush too, and in all the other Shemana, I say, but Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz. Everyone understand now the structure of Malchus? Once you understand that, this random collection makes a lot more sense. Statement of theme, 9 proof psukim, and 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, then your request at the end with the concluding bracha. Now, in association, the Rav pointed out, in association with the request, there is a 10th pasuk. One more from the Torah. Not as a proof text, but as a to supplement or to bolster the request. According to the Rav, this is a little bit of a chiddush, the 10th pasuk is actually in this case right before the paragraph. You'll see it says, Uvisorascha Kasuv Lemor, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. You see that? Now, at first glance, you'd think, well, what's that got to do with Hashem being the Melech? But we know, what is the recitation of the first pasuk of Shema all about? We call that Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. That pasuk of Shema is a declaration that Hashem is the king. So the Rav really said that last pasuk is really attached. It's not part of the proof text. We have the proof text. 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im. The extra pasuk, the 10th pasuk, the 4th one from Torah, is really attached to the request. And that's what the Rav said, you know, in many chazonim, I happen to daven b'yom and ma'ishul too, so I'm partial to it, but I don't do it this way because of deference to the Rav's interpretation. In many shuls, that pasuk, the chazan, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is like the crescendo, you know, over his heart, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, and it goes, ah, right, that's the end. The Rav thought, do the ahs in the previous pasuk. Because that pasuk really should not be separated from the concluding paragraph, because that 10th pasuk is really part of the next paragraph. It ruins it for the chazanim. Okay, it's not so bad. I do it myself, so I do that whole crescendo. You know, not that I'm a chazanish or chazan, but I do that crescendo before the previous pasuk. And everyone, then we go on to the to the next paragraph. That's the structure of Malchios. Once you understand that, okay, the Rav went on. Said the following. The structure of Zichronos is the same. The same structure. It starts, let's turn to the next page. It starts with your statement of theme. Right? What's the statement of theme on Zichronos? Ato Zilcher Maaseh Olam. You, Hashem, remember everything that ever happened. Upokei Kol Yetzirei Kedem. You know all creation, right? You know all hidden secrets and so on and so forth. Hakol Golem Yodua. Right? In other words, basically, the idea of Zichronos, Hashem is aware of everything going on. Not only is the master of the universe king, but he's aware of everything that's going on. Right? He's aware of everything that's happening. That's the beginning of Zichronos. That's his theme statement. The theme statement, again, is followed by, part two, the proof text. 9 psukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, all of which this time have to do with Hashem remembering and being aware of what's going on. So if we take a look, In the next bowl, Kakasuba Sarasechot, talks about Noah. Vayizko Elokim, right? Hashem remembered Noah on the Teva and say it and so on and so forth, right? Or that he remembered the Jews in Mitzrayim, Vezacharti is basically, Vezacharti, right? He redeemed the Jews from Mitzrayim. All these psukim have to do with Hashem remembering things and being aware of what's going on and acting accordingly. You follow? That's what Zichronos is about. That's your proof text. And then comes your concluding request. Elokeinu Elokei Aseinu. What's the concluding request about? Zochreinu b'zikaron tov lefanecha. Please remember us in a positive way. You see, the request has to do with the theme. Please remember us. You're remembering everything already. Please remember our positive things. Please remember our positive things. So here, by the way, you don't have to do that trick with the... Because here the 10th pasuk is actually already in that paragraph. You don't have to do that to switch, like he said before, with the Shema Yisrael, I have to have Tzepa the Chazen. You don't have to do that here, because the 10th Pasuk, the extra Torah Pasuk, is actually in that paragraph. And how does the paragraph end? Baruch HaTashem, Zocher HaBris. Hashem remembers the covenant. So you have the exact same structure. Your opening statement, your proof text, and then your request on the theme with the concluding bracha. Got it? Again, once you understand this, I'm going to first, it makes much more sense what's going on now. And the third, and to go to the next page, the same thing with shofars. Yeah. Tuvim is uvedivrei kodshecha kasuv lemor. In your holy scriptures. And the Nevi'im is v'yedei avodecha Nevi'im kasuv lemor. It's usually in this version I have it, it's bold. Right? Uvedivrei, that's ksuvim. So it's Torah Nevi'im ksuvim. Now if we turn to the last thing, shofars is again the exact same thing. Opening statement of theme, happens to be short in shofars. Shofar, when do we first come across a shofar? Actually, when do we first have the word shofar in the Torah? It's nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. By Mamad HaSinai. HaSinai. Right? The sound of the shofar. So we begin by saying, Atah Niglesa Banan Kodecha. You revealed yourself to your people. And what was one of the major things present at that time? Uvekol Shofar Alem Hofata. You revealed yourself to the shofar. That's your statement of theme about the importance of shofar. Then you have, again, that's part one. Part two is your 9 proof texts. So, Kakasu B'Sar Secha, psukim about the shofar from the Torah. Uvedivrei Kodesh Kasuv Lemor, psukim from Ksuvim, about the shofar. Vayedei Avodecha Nevi'im Ksuv Lemor. By the way, in the psukim from Nevi'im, it's about the future, because the truth is, they're all pointed this out as well, that there's three, the shofar really symbolizes divine revelation, and that manifests itself 3 times in our history. At Har Sinai, in the Mikdash, right, Beis HaMikdash, that's the middle psukim, and in the future, Mashiach, right? The time of the final redemption will be, the shofar. So, v'ayadeh v'arech ha'rabim chasuv le'mor, again, God will sound the great shofar, right, the famous pasuk, v'haya b'yom ha'u yitok ha'b'shofar gadol v'o odim b'eretz ashur v'aridachim b'eretz mitzrayim, and so on. Your 9 proof texts. And then you have your concluding request. What's the request here at the conclusion? Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu Tekab Shofar Gadol Lechem Vaseinu. Please sound the great shofar of our redemption. Right? That's the request of shofars. Sound the shofar of our freedom. Right? And it ends, Baruch Ato Hashem, Shomea Kol Tzuas Amo Yisrael Berachamim. Hashem, please hear our shofar blowing with mercy. Now you understand how Malchus Yechon and shofars work. A statement of theme, proof text, request with a concluding bracha. Okay, so that's, I think, by itself. If you've got nothing else out of everything we said, I think hopefully it'll give you more understanding of what in the world is going on during all these musa with the psukim in here. Now you understand, it's a structure. It's a very, very beautiful structure. And then we don't have to look at the rest, but the rest of the Shemoneh Esrei is the regular rest of the Shemoneh Esrei. Now, coming back to our issue, we're still bothered by this strange passage in the Gemara. Because according, as you see, we do like Rebbe Akiva, right? We combine Malchus with Kedushas Hayom. Right? Melech HaKaris Mekadosh Yov Yom HaZikaron. So that's what we do. But Rabbi Akiva had said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, excuse me Rabbi Yochanan, according to you, you don't blow shofar after Malchios, because remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri combined Malchios with the third bracha of Kedushas Hashem, Atar Kadosh, and you don't blow shofar. So according to Rabbi Akiva said, well, if you're not going to blow shofar, why are you saying it? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, why are you saying it? We say it because this is that's what you're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah. It's a halacha. Whether it's the Raisa, the Rabbanon, Rashi, the Ramban, we discuss. But whatever it is, there's a requirement to say it, no? So Akiva gave a the Gemara gave a mystifying answer. Well, no, because once you're going to change it, you should change it altogether. Why do you change it? Once, you shouldn't say not 10, you should say 9. So the Rav said brilliantly as follows. We said before you have 9 psukim, right? The proof text, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, right? The 9 psukim. Then we said there is a 10th pasuk that's not one of the proof texts. It bolsters the request. It's attached to the request. In 2 out of the 3, in Zichronos and Shofos, it's actually in the paragraph of the request. In Malchios, it's not. It's right before. And the Rav said, like we said before, the Chazan should make sure to attach it. Okay, whatever. But there's that 10th pasuk is a pasuk request. We have a rule that no requests are made in the first 3 brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei. Not only Rosh Hashanah, in general. If you think about it, we are permitted, not even permitted, more than permitted, I encourage the people, halacha, not me, halacha encourages, that when you say a bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei this morning, God forbid somebody you know is sick, so there's a bracha of Rifa'enu, you should insert your own tefillah, aside from what's printed in the Siddur, you should insert your own tefillah on behalf of this person. In fact, some Siddur are printed in a footnote in the bottom. You can put in the names or whatever else. I tell people to do it in English if you're not comfortable with the Hebrew. It's okay. It's not an interruption. That's what you're supposed to do. Or you need somebody who's out of Parnassus, something like that, needs Parnassus, is a bracha. You know, the Baruch Aleinu, Baruch Aleinu. So put in a request in Shema Kaleinu. I do it every day, by the way. I personally, in Shema Kaleinu, every single day, put in a what? So the wisdom. Yeah, okay, whatever fits in that theme. What about, let me finish, I'll take a question. Okay, we're talking about Atachon and Tana on Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos? Okay, let me just finish because I don't know what the next speaker is here, but I'll be happy to talk to you afterwards. But my point is, I say tefillos, my children, my grandchildren, whatever personal tefillos you want, you can put in Shema Kaleinu. But not in the first 3 brachas. The first 3 brachas are fundamentally brachas of Shevach. They're brachas of praise. We don't have the time now to go into the details, but we'll have to accept that as a given for now. And you think about it, you'll see it's true. The first 3 brachas are fundamentally brachas of Shevach. In fact, there was even a question how we're allowed on Aseres Yemei Teshuva to put in the phrase Zachreinu L'chaim Melech Chafetz B'chaim in that first bracha. Because the second insert, Mi Chamocha Abaracham Im Zocher Yitzuv L'chaim, is not a request, it's a statement. Who is like you, Hashem, who remembers, right, it's a praise. The Zachreinu L'chaim is a little harder, but we'll have to talk about that some other time. But L'maisa, we don't put requests in the first 3 brachas. So Seder of Soloveitchik as follows. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who said that the bracha of Malchios was combined into the third bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei Kedushas Hashem, so therefore you cannot have any requests there. And the Rav said that's exactly why Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri did not want to blow shofar after Malchios, because he put Malchios. Why did he put right? He said there's no shofar after Malchios. Why? Because according to him, Malchios is in the bracha of Kedushas Hashem, which is one of the first 3. It's the third. What is shofar? What is shofar? Among other things, shofar is a request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a prayer without words. In other words, sometimes we can't find the right words. You ever go to somebody, you need a favor, you know, important person, your boss, it is, you know, I can't even find the words to express it. So sometimes we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's just a scream, so to speak. One of the ideas of the shofar is that it's a petition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know the right words. Let me just call out, almost like a, you know, just a shriek. And there's much more than that, but in a nutshell. That's one of the ideas of shofar. That's why I alluded to it earlier. Unlike eating matzah, which we would never do in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei on Pesach, as important as eating matzah is on Pesach, as important as waving the lulav is on Sukkot, we don't do it in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. How can we blow shofar in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Because it's not an interruption. It's the same thing. It's also a form of prayer. In fact, the halacha declares in the Gemara that the shofar, you know, all our shofars, you know, are bent. The shofar is not a straight animal. There are certain animals that have straight horns, right? We don't use that. We use a shofar that's bent. And the Gemara says it's supposed to be symbolic of somebody bent over in prayer. You're bent over in prayer. That's a shofar supposed to be kufa, supposed to be bent a little bit. There's a lot of themes of shofar that relates it to tefillah. Memela, if you're gonna say Malchios in one of the first three brachas, said Rabbi Yochanan, you can't blow shofar because shofar is a request, and a request is inappropriate in the first three brachas. He said, I'm stuck. That's why I want to do it, but I'm not gonna blow shofar. Okay, said Rabbi Akiva, if that's the case, my friend, you should only, that's what he means, you should only sing 9 and not 10. 9, not 10 what? Psukim. Because the 10th pasuk, right, what do we say? The 10th pasuk is not one of the proof texts. The 10th pasuk is part of the request. But according to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, there should not be any 10th pasuk. Because the 10th pasuk is in the request section. According to you, there is no request because it's one of the first three brachas. That was Rabbi Akiva's objection. When he said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, well, if you're not going to blow shofar, why do you say Malchus altogether? He didn't mean why do you say Malchus altogether. He said, why do you say 10 and not 9? What does that mean? That's exactly what it means. Why do you only say 9 psukim? Yeah, okay, the proof text, that's okay. But the 10th pasuk we established was part of the request section of the bracha. According to Yochanan ben Nuri, there should not be any request section because since he incorporates Malchus into the third bracha, there's no request in the first three brachas. That's why he says, he admits there's no shofar, and that's exactly what Kiva says to him. Well, if there's no shofar, why not? Because you don't make requests, then you shouldn't have the 10th pasuk either. Because the same reason, no requests. That's what Kiva said to him. Now, the Gemara makes sense. As we read it before, it's very strange. You know, they'd only say 9, not 10. Well, now we understand why. So, but more important than understanding what Rabbi Akiva is saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I think, is understanding now about what the nature of shofar is, what the nature of these psukim are, 9 proof psukim, and then a 10th pasuk, which has to do with the request section. And now, hopefully, we have a greater insight into how Malchus, Zichonos, and shofars works. It's really a beautiful collection, a beautiful tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, I don't remember who, but some German theologian, with this I'm done, I apologize, we started a little late, some German theologian said that these, when he reread, I guess in German, these tefillahs of Malchus, Zichonos, and shofars, said that they're the most beautiful things he's seen in any liturgy. It's a beautiful, we don't understand it always, but hopefully today you got a little more insight. First of all, we understand what the Gemara and the Mishnah mean, a puzzling Mishnah and Gemara, but more important than that, hopefully we'll understand now that Malchus, Zichonos, and shofars, it's not just some random collection of words and psukim in it. It makes a lot of sense that everything fits in. I'll just close by pointing out that Rabbi Yosef Albo, the great medieval Jewish philosopher, basically said that the Jewish belief can be knocked down or boiled down to 3 basic beliefs that are required. The Rambam has 13. I don't go into the argument, but he has 3 basic beliefs. 1, that God created and is the master of the universe. 2, the concept of reward and punishment. And 3, the notion of divine revelation. So I'll point out, that's exactly Malchus, Zichonos, and Shofars. Malchus is that Hashem is the king, master of the universe. Zichonos, that he remembers, is aware of everything. That's the concept of what we call Schar Va'onesh. He's aware, everything has consequences. Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything. And Shofar is divine revelation, Torah Misinai, right? That's exactly, Malchus, Zichonos, and Shofar neatly sums up the principal beliefs that a Jewish person has to have. Anyway, I thank you all for listening. Wish you all a good Kiddush Tova and a good convention.